Hello.
Hi, Kathleen. This is Flo.
Hi, Flo.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. You're on Arts Alive. This is Flo Hale, and it's Arts Alive, etc. Yeah. How is everything down in Georgia?
Everything is finally fall. It's finally fall. I know you've had fall up there for a while, but it's actually cool in the morning. I love it. We drove up to the mountains yesterday.
Right. So just one second. Just let me check something with Carmen. Carmen, we're okay now? Everything is fine?
We're totally looking great.
Okay. So the wonderful actress I'm talking to is...
Hold on. Let me...
Okay. Hold on one second.
You all set to start?
Yeah, I'm ready to start. Hi, this is Flo Hale, and it's Arts Alive, etc., and I have on the phone a wonderful actress that I've had the pleasure of working with and directing, Kathleen Devine. How are you?
Hey, Flo. I'm so good. How are you?
I'm doing okay, thank you. How's everything down in Georgia?
Georgia's just fine. Somebody, a friend of mine I was talking to earlier, said, say that word again. And I said the word. And he said, you got a little creepy, a little Southern accent creeping in there. I know. It's hard not to.
Yeah. Well, first, let me tell people how we first met. We first met up in Salem when you and I had the pleasure of being in this play, Senior Moments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, oh, golly, did we have a good time up at the Fort Salem Theater.
My gosh.
Right.
That
Jay Kerr.
Great.
And it was really, you know, great fun. But
yes.
You also, let's go back on your career. If I'm not mistaken, you went to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts?
I did, and that was so funny that we found out we both had gone to the same school. And so we have so much in common and so many experiences that were similar.
Well,
it
it's so funny because when I went to the American Academy, which was a million years ago, I think they were still in their original home, which was Carnegie Hall.
I know. That's so fantastic.
That's why, because I was there in 1947.
Well, golly, that was a little.
That was a little bit before your time.
But that's okay.
And now the Academy has its own building, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Well, I was on Madison Avenue, so I don't think they've changed.
Yeah, so they now have their own building. Yeah, that's really something. Yeah, but being in Carnegie Hall was great fun because we could, in between classes, go sit in the concert hall and listen to these marvelous conductors conducting the very famous symphony orchestras and stuff like that. It was great fun.
I am totally envious of that. That would have been fantastic.
You know, but then
we pretty much were in the building all day long, just going up and down the stairs. So I remember they were up just like three floors. It seemed like there were four flares.
Right. And then when you got out of the academy, where did your career take you? What happened to you?
I got out and I went off to do stock right away. I had done 1 year of stock before I went to the academy right out of high school. I did stock and then I did a year of college and then I got the scholarship, ABC scholarship, to go up to the American Academy.
That's great.
So I did stock again right after that, and right after that, I got the tour of Hello, Dolly, the national tour of Hello, Dolly, doing Mrs. Malloy. So,
and wasn't that with Yvonne DiCarlo, did you say?
That was Yvonne DiCarlo, and she was fabulous. She was a fabulous Dolly. I really enjoyed her so much. It was just a wonderful experience, a great cast, lots of lovely people, and I will always remember that as one of my highlights. I love the show. I love doing the show.
That's great. And you did some of the soaps, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I forget until I look at my resume. And then I realize. And I went like, oh, yeah, I did a lot of those things. Yeah, I did a lot of soaps. I was a contract player on One Life to Live and Search for Tomorrow, both of which are off the air right now. But I had recurring roles on All My Children, Guiding Light, As the World Turns, Another World, and probably, I think, more that I just didn't even put on my resume.
Mm-hmm,
it got ridiculous.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
point. So I did a lot of those. So that was a great experience too. I got to play different types of characters and
Sure. And you know, really when people sit home and they watch the soaps, they don't realize that doing those soaps is very, very difficult work. I mean, you've got a new script every day.
Mm-hmm. And we were lucky because we did not have to do it live, although we did tape live one day when something technically went wrong. So we had to shoot live like they used to do, you know, when they first started doing soaps.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But usually we had a... usually we got a script and then we did shoot it the next day, but they did have teleprompters.
Oh, yes,
so
yes.
So just in case you got totally messed up and were in another world there for a second, you got a reminder because they didn't like to stop. But it was lovely. I enjoyed it. And I got to be a murderess on one and a psychiatrist on the other one. So,
from a murderess to a psychiatrist. That's interesting.
Yeah, I know. I figured...
could you analyze yourself?
Well, probably, because they sent me off to jail in the first one, and then they figured I probably needed a little psychiatric care.
Uh-huh.
So then I became a psychiatrist, of course, for the second show. But yeah, it was great. And then all these other things in between, I remember I was doing, I was a nurse, I was a dress designer, I was, gosh, I don't even remember all the different things I was.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But it was fun because you get to try different characters. And so I did a lot of that while I was in New York and did independent films. That nobody's ever heard of, but also...
Well, you just did a film.
I just did a film. Actually, it's been a whole year now. Sometimes it takes 1 or 2 years to get everything edited and distributed, and they keep telling me it's in the works, and they're working on it, so hopefully it'll be out this year sometime. And I play an Italian grandmother from Italy, full accent and everything. So that's really the reason that I did it, because I got to do an accent. So so it's a lovely, it's a sweet, I would call it a little bit like a Hallmark movie without being shot by Hallmark.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, family or very family oriented and diverse group, and it's a very nice story. So I hope I see it soon. I want to just see it myself.
Well, sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, but also, you have a marvelous singing voice, by the way. You're a terrific singer.
Oh, well, thank you. So it takes one to know one.
Well, no, you know,
everybody.
And and it was such
nobody
a...
Nobody knows that you're a singer. They shouldn't. I'm sure everybody knows by now. But you do all those wonderful shows up there.
But it was just great being in that musical with you, you know, the senior moments.
I loved it. I loved it. We had a lot of really fantastic people who I am friends with now, still.
Sure.
So that was, you know, I think that's the biggest takeaway from all of our shows that we do. We meet such wonderful people along the way.
That's very, very true.
That's the best part. Of course, doing the role is always fun. But
and, you know, some people have a funny idea about people in show business. They think that we're stuck up, or think we're privileged or something like that, you know.
Oh,
no, we're just working people, and you find nice people and all kinds of, and you meet people that you don't like in other businesses, so it doesn't, but they think, my God, she's an actress, we're an actor, oh my God, oh wow.
Oh yeah, oh she must think she's spent, you know, something. But I really put myself in the category of a normal person who just happens to act, you know, and sing. And most of the actors I've ever met are exactly like that. There are some crazy people, you know, they're not really crazy, but, you know, different people that live in different places, and they have an idea of themselves that may, you know, and they are privileged to an extent. But, you know, everybody's different. I just look at it as a wonderful way to express your creative abilities and make wonderful friends.
Oh, sure. When I auditioned for the American Academy, after they sent me a booklet, I had to do something from Shakespeare, and I did the Quality of Mercy speech, and then what they considered a contemporary play then that was written in the 1920s is called Pennywise. Oh, and after I did the audition, and it's so funny, everybody knows that I'm an old lady now, I'm 96 years old, but Mr. Jellinger, who was one of the founders of the Academy, was auditioning me, and he was a man in his 80s. And I said, oh my God, here's this old man auditioning me. You know?
Yeah, like, what does he know?
Yeah, right. And after the audition was over, and they'd ask a lot about your family and whatnot, and he said to me, I'm going to ask you one question. And I said, and what is that? He said, why do you want to be an actress? And I thought, oh my God, this audition was so awful. I said, I've kind of stuttered and everything, and I'm sitting there. And I said, well, Mr. Jellinger, I'll be very honest with you. I don't know why. It's just something I have to do. And he says, thank you. That's the best answer you can give.
I know.
He said, actors sit there and they say, oh, I want to be famous. I want to make a lot of money. Ho, ho, ho.
No, that's not that. I think, I know it's crazy to say, but it's a little bit of a calling of something that just comes from inside you, like people who become artists, they have to draw. Musical people need to do something musical.
Right,
I think it's a talent that you're given, and you have to express it in the best way possible. I was taking dance tap classes when I was about 5 years old, and in a bunny costume. and then when I was about 9, I think, my mother would always put us in little summer camp things. And one of the things that she put me in was an acting thing for kids. And I just had the best time, and I was running around being a giant and being this and that. And I thought, gosh, I love this. This is so much fun, and it's not that hard for me either. So I thought, okay, this is where I belong. But at 9, you know, I didn't really start doing plays until I was in high school, but I was always in chorus singing from the time I was, maybe in fifth grade, sixth grade.
Sure, sure.
So, it was kind of like a natural growth period for me. And the Academy was a fantastic experience, of course. So, and now I'm working on doing some Audible books. I'm putting together my demo tape for that. And
very good.
Yeah. So it's the theater down here is kind of spread out all over the place, but there are some opportunities still, not quite like in New York, but there are some good opportunities, but the SAG strike, SAG after strike, and the pandemic, of course, after we just got down here,
kind of put a
damper on things. But you know, things are still moving. They're starting to pick up after the strike, and so I can see a lot more activity right now. So I've had a couple of auditions this past week. One was a dance audition, and I was like, don't make me dance now. and now I've got a feature film thing coming up on Wednesday, so playing a doctor.
Talking about auditioning, auditioning is so different now. Everything is done on tape or something like that. I mean, years ago, you would go out and you would audition, and you were able to face the people that was auditioning you, and you can see their reactions and whatnot. And now you have to do everything, go into a studio and pay for a studio and audition. And I think you're losing a lot. You're not really getting to know the person.
Yeah. You don't get that same energy. You have to kind of make yourself get to that energized place in a way. I mean, you do have someone who's behind a camera, so they're taping you and recording you. You do have the interaction with that person, So, you know, I've developed a lot of good relationships with all of those people. So you do have a sense of auditioning in person. But once they finish it, of course, they send the tape to the casting director who requested you and your agent and one to us. But it is different. Now, you can, sometimes they give you the opportunity to, for the theatrical things, to audition in person.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
But they also do some of those on tape, which I think is, it feels very foreign for, to do a theatrical audition for me.
What kind of advice would you give to a young person who says, oh, golly, I want to go in show business. I want to be an actor.
Gosh.
What would you say?
I would say get some really good training first. And because it's not just about, it's individual jobs that connect to one another. It's not just, it's a very rare situation where suddenly just pops out and becomes an overnight star.
Mm-hmm.
Although they seem to be doing that on as influencers these days, but even those are not as often as you would like to think, that the public thinks. But I think having a good grounding in not only theatrical, nowadays theatrical auditioning and the basics of acting, but also television acting and the differences between those two. And also that they should get some commercial acting training, which sometimes for some people is very natural and sometimes is a very foreign, kind of like a foreign object that they don't feel comfortable. So, and I know you did all the casting, so much casting for.
Well, I think my favorite story about casting is when I found out I was going to be auditioning Lynn Redgrave.
Oh,
and
yeah,
God, you know, and I told her agent, she was on Broadway at that time in a play called The Lark, which was another version of Joan of Arc. And I said, I will see her after the matinee on Wednesday, and there won't be anybody else around but me.
Yeah.
Well, I'm waiting by the elevator for her, and I realized how tall she was, and I said, Miss Redgrave? And she said, are you Flo, with this marvelous accent? And I said, she said, please call me Lynn. Well, I got her into the studio, and here I am directing Lynn Redgrave, and she says to me, I don't have the slightest idea of what I'm doing. And she didn't.
Fantastic.
And it was really funny. She said, doing a commercial. And then I think eventually she did wind up doing a Weight Watchers commercial. She was one of the first people to do a Weight Watchers commercial, celebrities.
God,
yeah, and cool. We at a SAG luncheon one time, she was up on the dais, and I was up there with some other casting directors, and she was taking questions from the audience, from the other actors. And one actor said to her, Miss Redgrave, how did you, you know, transition from, you know, your acting to doing a commercial? So she points to me down the table, and she said, she taught me how to do commercials. And I said, here
That's
I am
fantastic.
Directing Lynn Redgrave, so my coaching fee went up.
Oh, yes. You were considered way up there.
Now, let me, before we run out of time, I want to ask you, because I had the pleasure of directing you in this property called Garland. You played Judy Garland, and that was at the Bridge Street Theater. Did you feel intimidated at all by playing Judy Garland?
I think I was so busy memorizing everything that I didn't, you know, I never had it in my head that I was going to do an imitation of her. If I had had to sing all of her songs, then I probably would have been seriously intimidated. But in that case, we would have worked on it for a much longer period of time to learn all the music. But in the time that we had, considering I was on the stage most of the
You were
what,
on the stage
what,
all by yourself.
Yeah, 80 or 90 minutes, a few lines coming in and out. I was intimidated not by the fact that I was doing her, because she's so iconic that I, as I said, I didn't want to imitate her, but by being on the stage all by myself for that length of time, because I'm so used to the interaction of other characters on stage. But, you know, then after you do it a little bit, it's very freeing, because you do then have the ability to learn that you can do that. First of all, that's a huge challenge. And then when you do it, it's a huge accomplishment. So that I consider that. And when I did my own cabaret show, two of my biggest accomplishments in those terms, because you really have to take the stage and command the stage and develop the character.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I loved it. But, you know, everybody seemed to love the show. So they all stood up every night, as you remember.
Oh, yeah, you got a standing ovation every night. And the interesting thing is that this play is really sort of towards the end of her life.
Yes. Yeah, it was the last, right before her last stage performance.
Right, yeah.
So, and she goes through all of her life. I found the history of her life fascinating, and everything that she went through and all her personal trials and tribulations, that you really come to know her and love her as a person, not just a performer.
And all of the and the abortions that she had to have.
Oh, I know. That was terrible.
You know.
And it was terrible. Yeah, just so she could perform, and her, you know, her rotten husband didn't want the baby.
But, you know, she did have a child with Gene Kelly.
That, I think you told me that.
Yes,
and, I didn't
and
know
somebody
that
we
that.
Know who has to remain nameless at the moment, she gave the child up. She refused to have another abortion, and she gave the child up. And that child grew up and married somebody that you and I know very well.
Oh, yes.
You know.
Yes, we will keep that secret.
And that's right, you know. And unfortunately, yes. I understand that she was also became an alcoholic and things like that, you know.
I think it runs in the family genetically.
Oh, look
somehow.
At Liza Minnelli, you know, the same thing.
Yeah, poor thing. I know.
But
that
story of this property known as Garland really shed a lot of light on her marriages, the studio, and all of those terrible little munchkins in The Wizard of Oz who were dirty old men.
The handsy little munchkins. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. She said they were really.
Who would have known?
Right. Absolutely. And the fact too that in the play too that and you learn that her father was gay. Judy Garland's father, was gay, and that also influenced her life too. And some of the guys that she married.
Absolutely. I mean, you marry what you know. And what you're comfortable with.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and they were all wonderful, wonderful guys. But she did have difficulties with her relationships, unfortunately. So, and so has Liza. But Lorna has been okay, and Michael, the son.
Right, he sort of like disappeared a little bit and doesn't want. But the thing always amazes me that if you were going to portray someone that is so famous, I would be terrified, you know, and say, are people going to compare me with her? Are they going to, like, they've made a couple of movies, and I forget the last actress that played Judy Garland in a film, and I can't remember who it was. Do you remember who it was?
Renee Zellweger.
It might maybe. Be, yeah. I always would think that it
on
would
film,
be, you would be being compared, you know,
well
she didn't
did
do this and she didn't
I mean,
do that.
That was a momentary thing that flashed through my brain. I remember someone said, oh gosh, when you were doing that, whatever scene it was, you had some, your face expressions or your facial expressions or something that you did look just like Judy Garland. And yet I was not aware. I was not trying to do that.
No.
And I wasn't aware of it. I was just trying to show her the essence of who she was.
Right, absolutely.
As a person. So instead of, and not get caught up in her arm movements or, you know, anything that she would do. So I was terrified for a lot more other things.
And the interesting thing about this play is that you never sang in the play.
No, I never sang.
You know, and that was a very interesting concept for the play. You're talking about Judy Garland, and she's in Europe doing this concert tour, and that's when the play takes place. But she's, but you never really hear her sing. The only thing I did at the end was have the voiceover of Judy doing, you know, Over the Rainbow, and that was about it.
Yes. And then then she talked about the one recording when she came out and she had the recording, the cover in her hand. And
right, yes. And that Marlene Dietrich, too.
Yes, and yeah, I had fun playing Marlene Dietrich in there.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I wish, I'd like to do that again somewhere.
Right, yes, yes. Yeah.
It's fun.
It's a wonderful play. I'd like to see us do it on a full stage.
Yes.
And there's so much more I would have liked to have done with it, using photographs and stuff like that and music in the background and stuff, you know, but you have to get special permission, you know, to do all of that.
I know. I thought about doing some excerpts down here, you know, like highlights of or something in a black box theater, just not too big, but not too small either.
But we're coming up towards the end of our interview, Kathleen. It went by so fast.
Okay, this is fun.
But anyway, I want to end this with you giving advice to some young people out there. What would you say to some young people?
Yes, well, as I started to say, and then we got sidetracked, you know, to get the best training that they possibly could. It can be anywhere. Just about every city offers some kind of basic training, or you can take training in schools. Sometimes even high schools have drama classes, so that's always a good start. I did have drama classes starting in high school. We had an excellent high school, and a lot of people went on to be professionals. Then you and I were lucky enough to go to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts, which was beyond anything you can imagine. And then to continue, even now, when we first got down here 3 months after the fact, to always continue to take classes wherever you can find other classes. Mm-hmm. If it's a specific thing you'd like to do, or just do scene work, or monologues, so you can kind of, you know, keep that wheel oiled.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's not a jolt when you suddenly go into audition for something else.
Sure.
And I did a lot of that on Zoom when we first moved down here, and still do it.
Mm-hmm,
so
good.
It's terrific. Yeah, I love it.
Well, that's one of my, it's like I'm sure I drive my neighbors crazy because I vocalize a lot around my apartment. And I figure, you know, that this is something that I really, you know, want to, that I want
it's
to do.
It's good. No. I do that I do that around the house, and my favorite place to vocalize, as long as I don't run off the road, is in the car. So I just put on all my favorite playlists and sing and vocalize. And when I was taking a voiceover class down here, I would always do my singing vocalies going up there, so my voice is nice and warmed up. I've been busy.
Well, that's good. Kathleen, thank you so much. And it was a pleasure talking to you.
Oh, it was a pleasure for me on one of your first ones here.
And also the fact that we've had opportunities to work together and everything.
Well,
that's really been
so wonderful.
A fantastic thing. So let us know when your movie's going to come out.
I will.
Absolutely. And Kathleen, I now have to say, I have to cut our interview over here, and it's been a pleasure.
Okay.
And I love you. Take good care of yourself.
I love you too, sweetheart.
Take care now.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. And Kathleen Devine, a wonderful, wonderful actress. I've had the pleasure of working with her, and she's just really a super, super person and very giving and very easy to work with, and just a wonderful person to be on stage with. And also to direct, because she took direction, you know, beautifully. And she has a wonderful singing voice. We did some shows together where we were singing, and it was just really a lot of fun. And the theater is a lot of fun, and my life in the theater has been wonderful, and I've met some terrific people, and I'm very happy about it. And I also always like to end, you know, my shows by saying, please support your local theater. Wherever you are, please support your local theater. Here, it's the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill. And we need your help desperately. And so please go to bridgestreet.org and stop by and see a show. And also give comments, you know, what you like, what you don't like, and what you would like to see more of. And there's going to be lots of new things taking place with the theater. And so we're very happy that all of these things are going to be happening. And the fact that Catskill is going to be really, you know, taking off with a lot of wonderful things that are going to be happening here. So in the meantime, I just want to say thank you all for listening, and I'll be back again. So in the meantime, so long. Take care. Bye-bye. Remember to listen to your local radio station. That's where you're going to get all the news.